This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. On the day the Sixers' vacation from accountability ended, they had a nice little vacation for about...
We need that accountability, just accountability.
I'd say they had 7 or 8 weeks where people basically ignored them at the home stretch of the Eagles season and the playoff run of the Eagles season. And I knew at some point the Eagles... It's not like the shine on the Eagles has worn off, but it is, you know, every day you get a little further from it, you start paying attention to other things. And something had to happen. And yesterday it happened with Shams saying that the team is going to look into other treatments for Embiid. His knee swelled up and it looks like his season is over, and who knows what's going to happen with the future. We'll talk about the future.
Is it safe to say the process is over?
Oh, my God.
I think it is.
Yes, Spike, what do you have to say about that?
I think it is. I know you're still in there, but as one of your Hinkyites, and as one of your guys, I think the process is over.
Well, to me, you know, Hinkie got fired a decade ago.
Yeah.
So to me, the minute they hired Brian Colangelo, and like there have been, I'm trying to think of the number of GMs who have been in charge since Sam Hinkie. So you had Brian Colangelo. You had the summer when it was one of the Sixers minority owners and Brett Brown, because that was the Mikal Bridges trade that happened.
Yep.
Then it was Elton after that.
It was Elton in there, yep.
And then it was Elton again. Remember, before they hired Morey in that same offseason, they promoted Elton.
Yeah.
And then it was Daryl Morey.
Thanks to Elton, we got Maxey.
By himself, yep.
Yes.
So you know, I was told.
Well, you know, it's funny. When Howie drafts a player, nobody points out the guy who told Howie to draft him.
Well, like my lotto was clearly Stoutland. You know,
but who gets the credit?
Jurgens was Kelsey.
Kelsey. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's Howie. Howie gets the credit. Howie gets the blame.
Because he gets the blame. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Tasty Cake. You know, when people, with Tasty Cake Dom, we'll get to you in a second. It's funny. Every time I give credit to Daryl for Morey for picking Maxey, everybody's like, that was Elton Brand. It's like, okay, let's say the player they took there stunk.
It's Morey's fault.
Yeah, then it would be Morey's fault. So it's like, let's just be consistent about it. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP. What's up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Spike. Hey, Ike. And I'm glad Jack's back.
At least somebody is.
Yeah, many people say that.
What's up, Tasty Cake?
Dozens of people.
Spike, the one thing that I already knew was that everybody listens to you guys. But when I call it, I'm on two group texts with three of my oldest friends from high school and their kids.
Okay.
And then six guys that were on the different, like the Frito guy and everything, the guys that ran the roots with me.
Okay.
In Williamstown.
Not the Frito guy.
Whenever I call in, the feedback, I seriously get 12 text messages on whatever our conversation is.
That's a big deal.
Oh, because I see. Because everybody's listening. Yeah, got you.
Yeah, everybody's listening to you guys.
Well, I like it.
What I wanted to say was, when I called October 11th and I made the most accurate phone call in WIP history.
Yep.
I get no pleasure in being right.
Of course not.
Enjoy.
Doesn't sound like it at all.
No, just you remember the date and how right you were.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said you remember the date and how right you were.
Yeah, do you have a 10/11/24 tattoo on your bicep?
Hold on, Spike. The reason that I remember so clearly is you blasted away at me there. Mm-hmm. You told me I wasn't allowed to talk about the Sixers anymore. And
he hasn't let that go.
Well, you've talked about the Sixers numerous times since then.
We've moved past that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, what I'm saying is I get text messages, and even some of the other callers are saying, you know, just because I'm, you know, Mad Mike calls and he's leaning into his take, whether he's right or wrong, I want the Sixers to be successful. Mm-hmm. You know, I had concerns about that. You know, I mean, I was concerned about Joel Embiid's durability. There was anybody, I mean, I watch a lot of basketball, Spike. Mm-hmm. So it didn't take a brain surgeon to see that there was absolutely zero chance that Paul George would thrive in a Nick Nurse offense.
Of course.
Not going to happen. He was going to be as irrelevant as he is.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to happen from day one.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that coming.
Yeah, some people knew that.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So, and the other thing is that your poll, Josh Harris, Embiid, where's the coaches responsible? Because one thing that nobody's brought up is Joel Embiid, in his 800 and some games he's played, has missed 400 games.
Mm-hmm.
He's missed 400 games out of like 850.
What does that have to do with Nick Nurse?
It's a very big thing it has to do, because out of all those games he made, the Sixers still made the playoffs the last 7 years.
Okay, they made the playoffs last year with Nick Nurse, too. And every one of Tobias Harris's stats is better last year with Nick Nurse than this year.
You told me not to bring in Tobias Harris. So
yeah.
If they just made that one flip, Tobias for Paul George, they're three games over 500.
Oh, well, that's insane. But
Tobias.
Yeah.
Would
that's
you pipe
insane.
Down and let? I mean, Don's been right this whole time. Yeah. Why don't you take a step to the side?
Well, that's an insane. I mean, I love you, but that's insane. If Nick Nurse can't coach forwards, why were Tobias Harris's numbers all better last year than this year?
Blake, you also said
why were they?
Five text messages about that.
Why were they?
You also said that me saying that Tobias Harris is a better post up player than Joel Embiid is also insane.
Yes, it is.
However, when you want to be a great post-up player, you have to set up deep. You have to make your target big as a seven-footer. Okay? You have to have great footwork, and you cannot concede your position. That's a great post player. Embiid does none of those things.
And yet is still a better post player than Tobias Harris. So what are we doing here?
Well, if he's such a great post-up player, why is his go-to shot a foul line jumper, Spike?
Well, I'm not saying that is the best part of his game, Tasty Cake. I'm not saying it's the best part of his game. But last year, he was second in the league in post-ups, and he averaged more points per possession in post-ups than Tobias Harris did on his only two. And there's no way Tobias Harris's efficiency is going to go up when he has more post-ups. It's just a crazy thing to say. You say a lot of true things, and you also say crazy things. And I think that thing is crazy.
Like, I'd like to respond, because the coach doesn't know how to coach forwards.
But then why were Tobias Harris's numbers better last year than they are this year?
Well, what are they this year?
His points are lower, his field goal percentage is lower, his three-point percentage is lower, his rebounds are lower, and his assists are lower.
His wins are higher, though.
Yeah, his wins are higher. So all this on a team where he was the third option, why are they all better than last year with Nick Nurse, when they won 50 games or whatever? Why were they better last year? No.
Easy answer.
Yes.
Easy answer.
Okay.
Because they won games without Joel Embiid, because Tobias Harris was scoring 26 points.
Talk to him. I'm wondering when you was going to get to that.
Okay, but if Nick Nurse can't coach forwards, why was Tobias Harris able to do that? And why did Tobias Harris score 0 points in their final playoff game? Zero. Not 1 point. Took two shots.
Right, well, Spike, that's another indication of how bad a coach Nick Nurse is.
Oh,
when your max player goes 4 for 23, you kill the player. When your max player goes 0-for-2 and your coach can only get him 2 shots, that's the coach.
Okay.
It's
all right,
not
Tasty.
The player.
All right, Tasty.
That's the coach. If Jason Tatum went 0-for-2 in a playoff game, who are they going to kill?
Jason Tatum in the finals last year shot terribly. Was anybody blaming Joe Mazzulla for that? No. Okay, thank you.
But they kept going to him, right?
They didn't stopped. Jaylen Brown took more shots than Jason Tatum did. Oh, my God. You're crazy.
I frustrate you every time, Spike.
Yes.
I do, but,
yes.
You know, right. I hopefully allow me to continue to call in the show.
Yes, I always do, Taste the Cake.
Of course you can call in, Taste the Cake, Dom. Don't let Spike run you off.
I'm not running him off.
Spike. Yeah. We got you.
We got your back, Taste the Cake.
You are the worst, Ike.
No. I don't mean that at all. It's just that, you know, we disagree a lot on basketball.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of basketball, and I'm not going to.
What was Tobias Harris's best All Star moment? What was Tobias Harris's signature All Star and playoff moment? Well, he's been in the league 13 years. Okay. What are his signature All Star and playoff moments?
Right. Was Maxey an All Star this year? He's having a pretty great.
No. But he has made an All Star team. So again, what are Tobias Harris's signature playoff and All Star moments in his 13-year career?
I don't understand. He at 45 minutes ago, he said, I absolutely don't want to talk about Tobias Harris. Isn't that what he said?
Hey, that's what he said.
Well, you brought up.
The entire Tobias Harris to me to death.
Well, okay, Tasty Cake, again, last chance. What are Tobias Harris's signature all-star and playoff moments? Give me one signature playoff moment from Tobias Harris. He's been on the Magic. He's been on the Clippers. He's been on the Sixers. He's been on the Pistons. I feel like I'm missing a team. In all those opportunities. Yeah. What is his signature playoff moment?
Signature playoff moment?
Yeah, just one. Because they're 20-36 now, and they'd be 2 games over 500. So I just want one signature playoff or all-star moment from Tobias Harris. Just one in his 13-year career. He would swing the team from being 20-36 to, you know, after 46 games, they'd be 2 games over 500. So that player must have one signature playoff. Joel Embiid's been a failure in the playoffs. I could name signature playoff moments. So Tobias Harris, give me just one signature playoff or all-star moment from Tobias Harris. One.
Two years ago when Embiid missed the first game against the Nets, mm-hmm. and Tobias Harris was 20-10 and beat the Nets without Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Yes.
One.
It was all Tobias.
And you don't win game five last year against New York without Tobias.
Yes, it was
is
all
that
Tobias.
The one you were looking for? Wait, is that the one you were looking for?
No, those are not signature moments. And the reason he doesn't have any all-star signature moments is because he's never made an all-star
team. Oh, he got robbed.
Game. Yes. All right.
Got robbed.
All right, Tasty Cake.
Yeah. All right, what year was that?
2020, when there's no one in the crowd and he's yelling at the crowd, I'm an all-star?
That's right. I remember that. My favorite memes.
You tweet that one out all the time, that little gif of yours.
Gif, yes.
Whatever. Is it gif or gif?
So the creator says gif, but I say gif.
Yeah, well, it's obviously gif. It's a G.
Is it Gorge or George?
It's Gorge.
Spelled G-O-R-G.
Yeah. I was thinking of the word Gorge. Like that's Gorge, actually. Yeah, I don't know. I like gif.
You ready to go? Because I sided with Tasty Cake.
Nah.
That was good.
Okay. I saw you sided. I love Tasty Cake.
I think me and Tasty Cake might be the only Tobias fans in the city, man.
No, I didn't know there was another one besides Ike.
And when I debate with Dom, it's always like, I hope you let me call again. It's all like, all right, sympathy. I get it.
That's smart.
Bring out the violins.
Only for you.
Yeah, only for me. So we're going to talk about the Sixers moving forward. Mm-hmm. So here's the issue, right? Yeah. They decide, everybody, you, me, all of Philadelphia, Daryl Morey, Josh Harris, blah, blah, blah. We're going to move on from Joel Embiid.
Yes.
The problem is you got to get somebody to take him. And
the problem is you got to lower your asking price for what you want in return.
I don't even think, I was talking to Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer about it earlier today, or from Yahoo now. I don't even think he has neutral trade value now. Like, I think
you know who we're taking?
Here are the two teams I thought about.
Go ahead.
Phoenix and New York.
You think New York would?
When they fail in the playoffs, this, because they're not going to beat anybody in the playoffs.
Put him next to Cat?
Well, Leon Rose is, like, he's his old agent. There are always the Knicks rumors. I don't know. Phoenix was the other one that I think, maybe if they're desperate.
I was thinking Phoenix or L.A.
You know it's L.A. I don't know if they could salary-wise. They would have to trade Luka, or I don't think they could.
You know
could.
What? Salary-wise, you're right. I forgot about the whole salary thing.
Yeah, I don't think they
I'm
could.
I'm just looking at a team who needs a big man.
I think Phoenix, this is the sad part. When you have two podcast listeners who are like, do you think Phoenix would take Embiid for Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
That is a, at least you cut
that's
two,
a legit one.
You cut 2 years
yeah,
off of what you owe.
That's a legit one, yes, sir.
I just think the issue is, I don't think you can spend picks to get off of Embiid. I just don't think you can.
You mean us give up picks to get somebody to take
him? I'd rather just let him sit on the sidelines, let Maxey and Jared McCain, and if PG is here next year, and build it, and know that you're building it without him around, and see what you can do. And that way you hold on to picks. That would be the only, because I can't see them this offseason. My gut would be, and I don't have any information on this one, my gut would be, they give it a go next year before they before they sell on.
But this
everything.
Next thing is not going to work. So
yes,
this next whatever
no,
we're about
no,
to
no.
do,
no,
it's not going to work.
Yeah, and there's a possibility they could do it, and the recovery time might be all of next
the whole
season
next
anyway.
Next season, yes.
So they go into next.
That's the one I heard where I was like, it was like, yeah, he could miss the entire year next year.
Yes,
I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, remember Lonzo Ball, and I don't think they're going to do the meniscus
right.
replacement. He missed 2 years.
Yep.
2 years.
Yeah.
And if they do that hip thing, that's a year.
That's the one I was thinking about. That's the one with the shaved hip.
Yeah, that's a year. So now, you could have a fun team next year without him. You know, they're right. You're not going to have a championship team without him, but you could have a fun team. And that's what the Wizards had to do with John Wall. When he couldn't play anymore, they just let him. They told him to go home. He collected his paycheck. He never came back, and they tried to do it around him. I don't know.
It's tough.
You will have some people saying it's worth it. Send away two draft picks. Get them off the roster. That way you don't have to think about it anymore. I don't know about the
idea of giving up two draft picks to trading.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get draft picks. I don't want to give up more draft picks.
Right. It's not like they have a ton of them anyway. They're not Oklahoma City or New Orleans or San Antonio with a ton of draft picks.
We're OKC taking.
Nah.
You got to put something with Shea.
Yeah, but he doesn't play.
No, I agree. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm just, believe me, I'm just trying to move him.
Yeah, I think you have to find one of those franchises that is always so desperate for a star because they can't attract him there.
Right.
The Sacramentos, the Orlandos, the New Orleans, if you could sucker one of those teams into saying, well, we're already good.
Right.
You know? Be for Zion?
Oh, that's another guy. He ain't a real guy.
Come on, man.
And I used to like Zion.
He's at his lowest weight, Zion Williams.
I can't tell. I never seen him play.
Yeah, he hardly plays, too. Talk about losing weight. He's a guy, as soon as he got in the league, should have lost 30 pounds.
Yeah. Okay, see, we might have to revisit that.
Whatever they want to give. You take Isaiah Hartenstein?
Yeah.
And
Jalen Williams?
Well, they're not going to give you Jalen Williams.
One of the Jalens? What's the other one? Is this two Jalen Williams?
They're both Jalen Williams.
They're both Jalen Williams.
One's bad, one's good. Hold on, what about Embiid for Draymond?
Golden State? They won't do that. Yeah, I don't think they'll do that. Maybe you get from Oklahoma City, maybe they give you Hartenstein, Lou Dort,
right,
and some other salary.
They sent the other guy to Chicago already.
The Josh Giddey?
Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah. Hanging around. You know, not going to make that joke.
Yeah,
back
out.
To the phones.
Yeah, back to the phones. 215-592-9494 to Yoshi and Brewery Town. You're on WIP.
My man, Spike. Baby. Happy Monday. Spike, how I sound?
Well,
horrible.
Yeah, you actually went out completely. But.
Oh, man. See, you the one who told me to use the AirPods.
You know what it is? When you're loud, the AirPods cut you off. That's the problem. Is your
Yeah, you gotta tone it down. Take it down to like six. Take it off at nine and go down to six.
Maybe do it all sexy like. Be like, hey, my man, Spike, Big Ike.
Yeah, don't encourage him to do anything sexy. Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
There go the locker room lurker. What's the name? There go the locker room lurker. I'm back in the car. Deal with this. I turn the AirPods on. Deal with this. I don't care. How about that?
Sounds good. Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, for now.
Well, what's saying, you know what? I'm going to tone it down. I'm going to talk sexy for you since you want me to talk sexy. You know what? I can't talk sexy, man, because I ain't that dude. I can't do that. But let me get to this point real quick. I am so sick of this team pacifying us. This team, this organization has been pacifying us forever. All the way back to AI, bringing in Chris Webber when he over the hill, big dog Glenn Robinson, Elton Brand, like what's the name? They bring in coaches to pacify us, Doc Rivers, Nick Nurse. This team is Paul George. And y'all sitting up here naming, trading for already injured players that stay injured also. Yeah, they play more than Embiid, but Zion Williamson, daggone Bradley Beal. Like, what are we doing here, man? This team is trash right now, and they can't get it right. Pacifying us with Daryl Morey, who daggone like a vote for if he ran for president. Like, it's, well, I don't care. You know who I'm talking about. I agree with what's name. Like, I'm just sick of this daggone team. I am sick of this thing. When the Eagles over, I have another reason to tell my wife, look, 7:30 tonight, what's saying? Don't bother me in between. 7 o'clock tonight, don't bother me. You know what? They got a game. Son. Now I can't even use that. You know what she said? They trash. They trash. You know why? Because she has Bleacher Report. She gets alerts and stuff. She pay attention to the news, the sports news, and all of that, so she can see how she can manipulate our time together. I can't even use the Sixers right now. And
they've really failed you in that way.
They have failed me. You failed me. This is your part of the season. I love you, like I love you to life, but you have failed me this part of the season.
I know.
I am now leaning on Jack Fritz. I told you. It's up to you, Jack. You got to bring Big Ike did his job. I mean, I said six.
I brought a championship, baby. I brought us a championship, baby.
Yeah, he was downplaying them all year. He was like, I don't know if I want to say Super Bowl yet.
No, Yoshi told me not to say Super Bowl.
No, I know. That worked.
It was. We had. You welcome, baby. What's name? My neighbor thanking me. What's name?
Bill.
You see my mom running inside my audible, Bill, so she is lipping. Thank you, because I helped out. What's name?
It's called a big dose of D.
So don't say that. Hey, only my wife get that word.
That hammer is real, for real.
Oh, boy, the drop board is...
It is back and full of
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Jack, welcome home, baby. Welcome home. Run the table. Yeah, you brought us a championship. Spike, you know what? I'm going to say something that might hurt your feelings, so I'm going to leave you alone about it. So, Jack, we're leaning on you. I'm glad you're back home. Hey, y'all better leave AJ alone, Spike. You up there, you
I'm pro AJ. I'm pro AJ. I'm an AJ guy.
You talk in a sinister way, boy. If he read that daggone thing about what your daddy said wrong, what you think of how you talk? Like, you got a reputation. So, you better chill out.
I didn't say anything wrong about AJ.
All right, boy. I'm telling you, he called a radio station up because of you. You can ask for 4 hours all day. Spike is on the show now. He ain't coming in, but Spike started to play. Spike threw that punch. He snuck you. Well, you ain't looking for the dude you fought when you fight. You're looking for that dude that snuck you. When you're in a fight and somebody sneak you, you ain't even worried about that dude.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. You're looking for that dude. Who, yeah.
All right. Get out of here.
You snuck me. I ain't even worried about that. No, that's how you be looking at it. I love y'all cats. Happy Monday. Jack, welcome home. Glad you got off the bottle, boy. Come on back. We love you. I'm back. Go birds.
There he is.
Go birds.
The worst phone on the WIP afternoon show.
Seriously, man.
Yelling in his car. I told him he should use AirPods. It made it even worse.
He needs one of those old school car phones.
Oh, yeah, that's what he... Well, he's not allowed to be on the handset because he's always driving. That's the problem. He doesn't hold his phone the whole time he's driving like some people I know that I'm looking at right now.
Wait, oh, that's illegal?
Yes.
What if you're good at it?
Oh.
You don't have the little stand you sit the phone on?
Nah.
Come on, man.
It's in my right hand.
This is, but that way he can tweet when he's driving.
Nah, only that. Just phone.
Well, in the MDX, it automatically is attached to the car.
Yeah.
Hold on. No big deal to you. It's got it up on the screen.
It's a Bluetooth, yes. It's automatically
probably
attached.
Probably a big-ass font, too.
It is probably a big font.
It is big font.
That actually is probably
Yeah, that's a fact.
True.
It is. Listen. Yeah. Wait till you get older. Don't worry.
He's going to get older.
No, I know.
We'll watch it.
And not to, you know, bring things that didn't happen on the show onto the show. But, like, we did interview Daryl Morey 6 months ago, and Ike had no recollection of the entire thing.
Wow.
Yesterday.
I swear.
See, don't backjack into a corner.
Oh, my God.
All right.
It's a great interview.
215-592-9494.
Was it a good interview?
Well, it was when Spike said, I'm vouching you to be a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Yeah. And that hasn't aged very well.
Oh, yeah. I do remember. I remember the interview now.
Yes.
Because he got the whole Ike, Spike, and Fritz right.
Yes. And remember, he was going to the DMV?
Yes. Isn't that's that right. He was
on his way to the DMV.
That's right.
Maybe he should have just kept driving.
I forgot about that part. Yes, he was on his way to the DMV.
All right, coming up next, team once again trying to ban the tush push.
Finally.
Uh-oh. We'll talk about that and continue to take your calls on the Sixers. 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Twitter question. Brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Jewelry. I have trouble with that word. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Which member of the Sixers organization are you most frustrated with? 38% still Embiid, 32.4% Josh Harris, and 29.7% Daryl Morey. Let's retweet it into my universe and see how that does.
Me too.
So we actually found out this mystery team that is trying to ban the tush push is the Green Bay Packers. Is the Packers that
you know
don't
that
win.
For sure, as the Packers?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So here's what Troy Vincent said about the motion to come up with a rule to ban the tush push. Hip drop and the tush push were in the same conversation 3 years ago. A year ago, we felt like, let's just focus on the hip drop tackle and the tush push. Just say, hey, the Philadelphia Eagles, they do it better than everyone else. But there are some legitimate concerns. Our health and safety committee has laid that out today with a brief conversation on the injury report. There's some challenges, some concerns that they'll share with the broader group tomorrow, but the tush push will become a topic of discussion moving into March. I feel like they're setting this up to ban it. And I think, I actually don't think it's the Eagles' success that did it. I think it's the fact that other teams are starting to do it successfully. And I would bet they do actually have some health and safety concerns about it. You know, I don't think that's crazy. To say
yeah,
that.
I wonder what I mean. Well, you know what may have happened, that whole thing with Washington and Frankie Louvu diving over the top and hitting Jalen.
Yes, if we can't stop it, you know, we're going to do this.
Maybe that thing is what has them sort of. Because I'm thinking with Green Bay, did we use it?
They actually ran their own version of it. Remember, they brought in the tight end.
Oh, they did. Like, who else does that? Baltimore does that. Yeah, Baltimore does that. I don't know why we don't do it.
Well, there was a tush push that I forget exactly what happened, but at the end, that was when Saquon was just standing there pointing to the first down.
Oh, yeah, that was the first down. That was the late first
late
down.
Late first down. They got him to jump, I believe.
Yeah.
Did you see one of the guys on the Chiefs actually lined up sideways on one of those plays?
Yeah. Wasn't that Chris Jones?
It was Chris Jones.
Yeah. He hurt his neck.
Got injured doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe the Eagles offensive lineman sent it to the Packers and said, hey, can you do this?
I also think the NFL is thinking.
I think they're a little tired of it.
I also think the NFL is probably like, look, if other teams are going to do this, this is not an aesthetically pleasing play. It's not a fun play to watch.
I've said that from the beginning, yeah.
You know, that if it's just one team doing it, I can understand, say, well, you got to stop them. But if all the teams, they don't want all the teams doing this on third and ones. And because it takes away some of the drama of what's going to happen.
Well, again, there's nothing wrong with a quarterback sneak. My issue with the play has always been that you've never allowed a push from behind. It turns into a science problem.
Well, couldn't the defenders push There are guys from behind.
But they know where they're going. Like,
yeah.
I just...
Yeah.
It's, you've never been allowed to push from behind like the Eagles do. And then, I know other teams can't do it, yada, yada, yada. But I think they're going to keep it. But it's just going to turn into, you cannot push the quarterback from behind.
So it's really just a formation that they would be keeping.
I think.
Yeah. It's really... There's somebody's total touchdown numbers that may not look the same without the tush-push.
That, and you know what, though? That's the crazy part, because I think they would. I mean, they may not be exactly the same, but he's strong enough that he should be able to get in with a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, they would just run it less, I think.
Yeah.
They would not, because it wouldn't be the same sort of guarantee, because he doesn't always get through. Sometimes it really is the push that gets him over.
Oh, no, completely.
Yeah.
I think he has gotten so comfortable with it that it's less of him surging to get the first down, and he's just relying on the momentum from the push from behind to eventually get him there, and he'll add to it. But if you watch other quarterbacks, when they run a traditional quarterback sneak, they have to be the ones that's pushing, basically driving their legs behind the lineman. So I don't know. Jack's right. The only thing I could see them possibly doing is saying you can't push the quarterback.
Right, you're allowed to do that rugby sort of lineup or whatever,
right,
but
you can't
push
directly
the
push. It's like what they did for field goal blocks. You used to be able to, right? You used to be able to hit the center and jump over,
yes,
the center. Like, they stopped all of that.
Yeah. My favorite tush push ever is when they did it to Kenny Pickett and they just ragdolled him into,
man,
the end zone.
Took it, what, did it take him three times to get in there?
I think so.
Yeah.
All with the broken ribs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hero.
And none of it looked comfortable.
No, he looked horrified.
You could tell he wasn't used to running it.
Oh, it seemed like there's
what
nothing
think,
he'd rather do
what
less.
What do you think he was saying in the huddle? Do you think he was like,
Well, initially, I think he thought, yeah, I watched Jalen do this. He usually
can't
scores
be that
hard.
Hard.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
Right, you guys are going to push me, right? Yeah, we got you.
Meanwhile, he gets bear hugged into the end zone. Literally picking the guy up and throwing him into the end zone. They didn't even push him. They picked him up, drug him in. Yeah, so might be the end of the tush push for the Eagles. It was a good. We had a good run.
We had a good run.
Won a Super Bowl with the tush push. We had a good run. 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike, Fritz, what's up, man?
What's up, dude?
What up, T?
Hey, man, let them keep running it up, man. I don't know why the Green Bay Packers want to hate on it now, man. My thing is, man, on a couple of those tush pushes, it looked like Jay wanted to glide in like Michael Jackson, man. He was just sliding in the end zone. Like, I didn't even see his feet moving sometimes. He was just sliding in the end zone. Let's keep it. Let's run it up.
I wonder if the best thing to do as a quarterback is sort of loosen your body and let them push you. You know what I mean? Just sort of like let it happen.
Why don't you just get in there as fast as you can?
Yes.
You ought to be the driving force.
Without the push.
Right, squat 600 pounds, man.
Yeah.
On Joel Embiid, man, my thing is, I feel like it was over for Joel Embiid when he signed that orthopedic sneaker deal for those old man Skechers. I feel like that was
been
the
downhill
end of
since,
mind.
Terrence. It's a good point.
And, yeah, like that. Like, who wears 60-year-old man's shoes to play basketball? That means your career is almost over. And Spike, you're my guy, Spike. But I gotta get on you a little bit, man. I feel like sometimes you're a little biased with your OMB. You have sometimes you make excuses for him. I heard in your opening statement. You said like he was the best player for 3 years.
He
to
was.
Me, he was the best player, but it didn't prove to nothing. He didn't.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I said he failed in the playoffs multiple times. I agree with you. The only point that I was making is sometimes they say a player is talented when he doesn't actually, when he's not actually good. Joel Embiid was actually good. This is not just he has raw talent and it never amounted to anything. He scored in a way that when you look at it historically, he scored in a historic way. I mean, he was averaging 36, 12, and 4 last year. So,
and Spike, I feel like it was so many years where we had a chance to win a championship. The year we were number one seed, we blew it to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the best teams in the NBA. We blew the lead versus Boston. We should have won that. A lot of years, I feel like Joel Embiid, his mental state, if he was better being mentally prepared, his body, and being a leader. I feel like he's not the best leader. I feel like at times he's called out. We saw Maxey call him out a lot, even this year. I feel like Maxey's more of the leader of this team. And I feel like that's the difference with the Phillies, with the Eagles. Like, they have better leaders on the team. Mm. I mean, we can say Harper's a better leader. I know they haven't finished the job. And we can say Jalen is a way better leader than Joel Embiid. I feel like that's knocking him. His mental, I feel like sometimes he's a kid, even with his body. Like, I know he has a lot of weight on him, but he can still eat better to shut down a little 15 more pounds at least. Like,
I agree.
Joel Embiid, I feel like he has to get his mind in the game, and I feel like that will max his potential as an NBA player.
I agree with you. I think he's a bad leader. I don't think he's a good leader at all. I just thought he was a great player. And thank you for the call, Terrence. I also think if the injuries weren't a problem, I would take my chances every single year with Joel Embiid as a player and hope that it comes through at some. Remember, Dirk was a loser until he wasn't a loser anymore. You know, so I'd keep taking my chances over and over and over. I would take all the leadership issues, all of those things, if he was healthy and he played.
I always say the talent to me is undeniable. His availability has always been the question. But we kind of made our bed, those of us that accepted it. I'm not going to lie. Listen, some people out there are taking their victory laps when they hear guys like you and I sort of being in this position, and especially with me, because like I said, you've been here a year, but I've been doing the Joel Embiid defending thing for years, and I've yelled at people, and people have yelled at me, and we've had these highly hot contested back and forths of me defending Joel Embiid. My biggest thing is the organization, getting back to our original talking point here, my biggest thing is, from Daryl Morey's viewpoint, not seeing this and really having for lack of a better way of saying it, it's not an insult, but not having the stones to move on.
Yeah.
Like to move on, to knowing you're going to get the backlash. Again, the Dallas Mavericks GM, he's getting death threats, everything else, right? All of that stuff. But they had conviction. And for you to move on from a 25-year-old star who just took you to the finals, they must know something that nobody else knows about him intimately, that they were willing to move on from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka. Like, it makes me feel like we as a fan base was just kind of toyed with and carried along, like, oh yeah, we're trying to win. You really believe they thought that Joel Embiid could lead us to a title?
Here's what I think. I think that Morey looks at it. Here's the mistake, I think. I don't think he has any lack of gumption. I don't think he has any lack of will.
Hasn't in the past. Yeah,
no.
He's made big deals. He traded Ben Simmons.
Yes, and he wanted. I don't think he has any problem making big deals.
Okay.
I don't think he worries about fan backlash. Now, ownership might. I don't know if he doesn't.
All right.
But I think his error in looking at Embiid is he flatly looks at what is the percentage I have of winning a championship, and that's it. So maybe Joel Embiid gives you a 2% chance of winning a championship, which is better than whatever you would trade Joel Embiid for. But what it doesn't take into account is the floor, right? It doesn't take into account how bad it could get.
Right.
Like, let's just say, let's pick a player that can't lead you to a championship. Tyrese Haliburton, good player, whatever, right?
Sure, that's actually a good aim.
Right, he's a good player.
He's not leading you to a title, whatever.
Yeah. I think Daryl would say, okay, we have a 1-2% chance of winning a championship with Embiid. We have a 0.5% chance of doing it with Tyrese Haliburton. I'm going with Embiid. Without thinking about the fact that it's never going to get that bad with Tyrese Haliburton, but with Joel Embiid, the floor is way at the bottom.
Right.
And I think if I were to guess how he looks at it wrong, he just looks at championship odds. And that's ironic coming from me, because at the beginning of this, I said the only thing that mattered from the very beginning of whether was a chance to win a championship. And I
was there with you.
Right. And I think he looks at it and he goes, okay, maybe there's a 5 in 100 chance that Joel Embiid is healthy next year. And there's 1 in 5 chance that if he's healthy, we get to a championship. Mm-hmm. It's better than anything else is going to give us. But what it doesn't look at is how bad can it get in those other things where he's not healthy. And we're finding out how bad it can get. Because a lot of those players, like a lot of the players, they can't lead your team to a championship. You're still going to have a pretty good year every year, even if you don't win a championship.
Right.
The difference with Embiid is the floor is a catastrophe. And that's what we're in, is a catastrophe.
Yeah. And fans, I think to a man and woman as a Sixer fan. We all held out hope for that championship for a few years there. But after that Boston series, and then what happened with James Harden that summer when he didn't get the extension, like, we were here talking about it being a pause season.
Yep.
Like, nobody is here even thinking about a title. Let's just try to regroup, get draft picks.
I would say last year's team overperformed considering right. what we thought in terms of how good they were that year.
But there was a thing with James Harden where we didn't want to give him a max deal.
Yep.
Right? So people had gotten to a point with Harden where they were like, you know what? Whatever. Don't give him a max deal. Don't give him a max deal. And I think that's where people are at now with Joel, even though they've done the extension. I think fans have gotten to that point where, like, we're not winning a title, so what's the point? We may as well start over.
Yes, yeah. And the other thing I wonder, and as far as, by the way, Maurice Stone's, like, sitting through that Harden fiasco
he
and
did.
not crumbling,
yep.
I give him credit for that. Yep. Whether it was the right move or wrong move, he did not break.
That was the right move.
You know, was called.
I give him credit for that. That was the right move.
Harden publicly called him a liar.
Yep.
He stood fast, didn't give in and trade him for what he got, what he wanted out of the deal, all that stuff. I think the other thing that I wonder if it came into play is last offseason, the arena was still a question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to rebuild and trade your best player the summer before, you're going to try to convince the city to let you build your arena. That's where I wonder if the ownership thing comes into it. I don't know if we, maybe we could put Maury on lie detector day here, if he would have traded him, if that wasn't a consideration, but it might have been.
I honestly, he's taking the hit for Joshua Harris.
Well, he should.
He should. You're right. He should. That's his job. I think there would be a lot more people upset at Joshua Harris if we felt like it mattered.
Yes.
Like, I can yell about Joshua Harris. It means nothing.
No, he doesn't care.
No.
Yeah.
Like, it means nothing. So it's like Embiid and Maury are the two that we focus on. And Nick Nurse, I don't even know if I can blame Nick Nurse for anything.
I think...
Like,
well, he's a bad coach, according to Tasty Cake Dom.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you don't have your players, what is he supposed to do?
I think Nick Nurse is a good coach who's done a bad job, but even a good coach who did a good job this year, what does it even look like?
Yeah.
What does it even look like? What are they, two games under 500 instead of 20 and 36? We're still in the same. Maybe it's even worse because we have no chance of that draft pick. And I don't think they're going to fire Nick Nurse. He might get fired. But yes, to your point, I don't know. What's the guy? Could they have been better? Yeah, but what's the guy supposed to do? He doesn't know who's going to play every
night.
Yeah,
I can't. I'm not even mad at Nick Nurse, honestly.
215, and they don't have Tobias Harris. 215-592-9494. Andy in Westchester, you're on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, brother?
So, not too much. Just listening to all this, getting angry all over again.
Oh, yeah.
So, on a different note, though, Ike, you made my weekend Friday when you were talking about, you guys were talking about tattoos.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, the only thing that would show up would be Daffy Duck. So, being a 52-year-old child, Looney Tunes is probably my favorite show ever.
Oh, there you go.
Thinking about Daffy Duck and thinking about, you know, how he says, you're despicable. And all weekend, I could not get out of my head Jackie Duck or Daffy Spritz.
Oh, wow. Spritzy over there. Daffy Spritz.
There's no Spritz.
Sorry, you already saddled with it, Jack.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened. My neighbor was asking me about Spritz the other day. It's like, we talk.
Well, this
I
is
talk to you. You don't need a face shield.
Honestly, this is the biggest difference between having you in there and having Fran or Buzz is the glass in front of you.
It's when, so much spit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When Fran and Buzz are there, it's completely clear. I can't even see you. Now it's so covered in spit.
Yep. Spackle. Wow. Yep.
Jack, can you say despicable for us?
Despicable? Despicable.
I heard it.
Yep, I heard it.
Somewhere.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Yeah, I don't know how anybody can be blaming anybody but Maury for this. I mean, well, from my point of view, at least, he just made a mess of everything, how he disappeared in the middle of everything. It's everything about it, although, I don't know, every time I think about it, it's like, okay, well, maybe somebody else could. Joshua Harris with the stadium thing was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Joel's just Joel. Unfortunately, didn't take care of himself. But Maury, the other day, that statement about
the squinting.
Squint really hard. Yeah. The only person that
Ooh, boy.
That's his gold standard, by the way. That's his gold standard. Yep. That one's not going. And I think, I think I would guess in the next 7 to 10 days, Moore did disappear. I think he will be public again.
Reemerge?
I do think.
He start tweeting again?
Well, I do think over the last month, it would be hard to do it and not be able to answer some of the questions he would probably be asked, which might be easier to be asked now. But I agree, he holds a large share of the blame. And even regardless of what he was told to do or not told to do, this is by Josh Harris, the general manager has to own it. The end of the day, the general manager has to own it. So he has to own it. You know, the extension he has to own. The Paul George contract, if that ends up being as bad as it looks, he has to own it. That will go on his record. And regardless of what the situation was he walked into, he will how he walk if he somehow walks out with it worse than when he got here. And I'll remind you, when he got here, he had $80 million a year. Allocated to Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons, and to somehow be worse off is pretty difficult. So he'll have to own that, and that'll go on his record. And I think there were some things he couldn't control. And last offseason, I would have done the same thing he did, but I'm not the general manager. He is, so he's the one that has to live with it, not me.
Just my biggest problem is it's just open your mouth. He just disappeared, let everything fall to crap. People are asking questions about everything about Joel, and he said nothing. And, I mean, you're right about owning it, but part of that is just telling people something about what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah, so, anyway, I agree. I agree.
So, Spike, Daffy, you guys have a good night. I'll be on my way.
All right, Andy.
Yeah, so what's the backstory here?
Jack, what do you like, Daffy better or Hawk Tua?
Why don't I think Hawk 2 is funnier.
Okay.
Shouldn't want that one.
Right. But it's funnier. So, are you guys making fun of something on Friday?
Oh, no.
He was talking about tattoos.
We brought up the Bryce Fanatic tattoo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Captain Pander over there. Professor Pander.
He just loves the Fanatic.
And so, eventually, we got to talking about will he color it in?
Right.
Right. And I was talking about how great Spike's tattoos look on him. Really how tattoos on white people look great because they can do the colors and they come clean or what have you. And
yeah. Nice.
Self-deprecation. I talk about myself and tattoos.
Yep. And then I took it one step too far.
Of course.
And I shut it down and said, you're not allowed to say things like that. And I was like, oh boy, yes, we're on the radio.
It's not just you and I here.
Yes, yes.
Good.
Yeah. Good. That's what we meant.
That's what it was. Yeah. Right. It wasn't about you.
Okay, yeah. Good.
All right, Daffy.
Yeah. Enough.
All right. So, top five and five returns with Jack. Whoa. Next. We did. Did you hear Honest Jack's top five?
No.
Last?
No.
You sure you didn't hear it?
No, I really didn't. We'll address it in the top five.
Okay. It's a good one. Well, what's coming up in the top five and five?
The biggest things I learned in my week off.
Oh.
Including some more. I'm just letting you know. All-time WIP audio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know. What are you? Who knows?
Yeah. From one of our favorites. A shocking revelation from one of our favorites.
Wow. Okay. All right. We'll take your calls on the Sixers as well. 215-592-9494. Also, we have a couple of cuts we didn't get to from A.J. Brown's podcast appearance yesterday. Get to that as well. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.